close relationship with them and want to know how to achieve it. Here's your host, Ivory Lanoue, renowned angel communicator.
Do you want to know more about angels? Are you ready to level up your spiritual journey? Then you are going to love my Inner Circle and Patreon. Membership includes great benefits like virtual workshops, mentoring programs, topical videos, interesting posts, a supportive, like-minded community, discounted sessions with me, and access to a library of videos and posts on topics you care about, like angels, spirituality, healing, and personal growth. Join and begin your spiritual expansion today. That's the Angel Room Inner Circle on Patreon. Hi, thanks for joining me today. The topic is remote viewing. Before I jump into that, hello to my listeners in Bogra in Bangladesh. I am so excited to have you here. Thank you for tuning in. I'm glad that I can come up with subjects that are of interest to you. So I don't know if you are nationals or people who have moved there from another area, but thanks for tuning in. So for those of you who have heard of remote viewing but don't really know what it is, it's just a practice of seeking impressions about a distant or unseen subject with your mind. And typically, the remote viewer is expected to give information about an object, an event, a person, or a location that's hidden from physical view and separated at some distance, usually something they've never seen before, no hints of what or where it is. So it might seem like a science fiction concept, but it's not. It is real, and it's a widely studied phenomenon. It's something that I use in my work for certain topics, and I'll talk about that later, and my personal experiences finding missing people using remote viewing. So people can use this ability to describe objects or places that are beyond normal reach. And so research has found that it even works for targets that are hidden by distance, shielding, or time. So in other words, you can look into other times, present, past, future. So when you go online and you search for remote viewing, chances are you're going to get some images of flickering, people flicking through TV channels, like they're sitting in a chair and they're just watching these flickering images. And that just shows how little mainstream really understands this concept. Perhaps you saw the movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats. I like that movie. It was made in 2009, and the premise is that a struggling reporter played by Ewan McGregor gets the scoop of a lifetime when he meets George Clooney's character, who claims to be from a unit of psychic soldiers who've been reactivated for duty. Intrigued by this man's assertions that they can walk through walls and kill goats by fixed gazes, the reporter follows him on a dangerous top-secret mission across Iraq to find the brigade's founder, played by Jeff Bridges. It is primarily a comedy, but it did bring a lot of awareness to the topic of remote viewing. It featured some real aspects of the practice and quite a bit of fantasy and some practically just ridiculous, but it is a comedy. There are a lot of movies that involve the topic of remote viewing, and they can be very different from one another. Some take it very seriously, some really delve into it, some just touch on the topic. But I'll put that list of the ones I'm aware of in the show description so you can watch a few of them. So when you do remote viewing, it's a team effort, generally, particularly when you're doing it like for the government purposes. Like when you're studying, you're going to do it with a partner. It comes from parapsychology, and it suggests that we all have this ability to some degree. Typically, remote viewing involves, again, a team. One person is the viewer, and they are just receiving. They're trying to describe a target. The other person, called the interviewer, helps them to reveal images and feelings from their subconscious. Now, when you're trained in the very, very detailed, specific method of remote viewing, that there's a whole method to it that is just way beyond what I can tell you about in the length of my podcast, but you can look online about that. A big part of training in remote viewing is learning to separate psychic signals from mental noise. So it's like you tune into a specific radio frequency, and the results can be anything from fascinating to mildly interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the studies that have been done before I tell you about how I use it and how it works for me. Back in the 70s and 80s, there were two physicists who made remote viewing popular. They worked at Stanford Research Institute, and they got funding from the CIA and the U.S. military's Defense Intelligence Agency for Project Stargate. Their project looked at whether psychic abilities could be useful in the military or for intelligence. Are you surprised? Of course they're going to think about that. At that time, remote viewing was popular in engineering research, and it made using psychic abilities for gathering information seem more scientific. Ingo Swann, who was an artist in New York, was a remote viewer who helped develop a method called coordinate remote viewing, and that used geographical coordinates as targets. And you do see that in a couple of the movies that you're going to see the listing up. He even described objects and conditions on Jupiter before NASA's Pioneer 10 flyby confirmed his descriptions in 1973. So there was no way he could have known that. There were no images before that. In 2002, the CIA published a report stating that the studies they did involving remote viewing did not result, did not result in any reliable information they could use for intelligence purposes. And that's interesting because someone I know has worked for the CIA doing remote viewing, and they told me that their unit was highly successful for intelligence purposes. So you decide for yourself. I suspect it's still being used today. There's been some other experiments in remote viewing that you could find interesting. Edwin May was a main investigator of remote viewing, and he reported 504 intelligence gathering missions between 1973 and 1995. 19 different U.S. intelligence and military organizations asked for these missions. 17 of them were happy enough with the results to ask for more. Now you see why I say I think they're still doing it. Despite the success, political factors and government officials who feared it blocked its use in intelligence operations, but it was still used in archaeology and investment strategies. Isn't that interesting? The best results from remote viewing experiments came when there were a lot of different potential targets. People with more experience at it were better than people new to it. I don't think that's a shock. And their ability did not get worse over time. Remote viewers could sense activities at target sites both in the present and the future. There was no sign that it was harder to see a little into the future than it was to describe something right in front of them. The accuracy of remote viewing was not affected by distance, even up to 10,000 miles. And viewers could sense details as small as 1 millimeter. So it's like their mind is taking them to that place and giving them this extremely close-up view. Even though the U.S. government stopped officially using Project Stargate in 1995, people are still interested in remote viewing. That's why I'm doing this topic. Many private groups and individuals continue to study and use it for different things, from personal growth to, again, archaeological research. Scientists find remote viewing puzzling. It seems to go against the law of physics, suggesting a form of consciousness that does not depend on location or quantum mechanics. Critics argue that without a plausible mechanism and with inconsistent results, the phenomenon was questionable. Despite these issues, there are new researchers who believe remote viewing could be improved with more study. It could be a way to learn useful information about the present and future states of reality. And despite its history of predictions, recent investigations have been aimed at enhancing its predictive powers. It really is a window to an unseen world. I actually use the scene in the background. If you're watching this on YouTube, and if you're listening, like most people are, it's a beautiful blue lake with pine trees in the background, because very often we're asked to look at landscape. We're looking at territory, land, places. And this is a scene you might see in your mind when you're doing remote viewing, just this lake and trees at first. And it would be very hard to differentiate like where that is, because it's pretty generic scene. That's going to come into play a little bit later in this topic today. So remote viewing, it may not be mainstream or widely accepted, but it's still being studied, and it has shown use promise for practical use. It sparks curiosity for sure, and it makes us question our understanding of consciousness, perception, and reality. This kind of questioning leads us to innovative research and actually new understandings of the human mind itself. So, what is involved in remote viewing? Number one, imagination. It's a big part of it. Viewers use their imagination to visualize remote targets. And this practice can stretch your imaginative abilities and promote both creative and mental flexibility. So it also invites you to imagine new possibilities about human cognition and consciousness. I don't find it so hard to believe because I was born with spiritual gifts. I've been using them a good part of my life, and I do remote viewing. So to me, it's not that far out, but it's all science. It's just not science the scientist will see as science yet, if that makes sense. The next thing that's really heavily involved in it is creation. Viewers are not just receivers of information, but they actively shape the perceptions they receive based on the signal. So they're getting signals, and then it starts picturing in their mind. This active process can lead to the creation of new methods, practices, and theories in parapsychology and beyond. And I'm going to explain more about how you take the information you receive and actively shape the perceptions. I'll explain how that works. It is a blend of sciences. By blending science and what's often seen as supernatural, remote viewing could lead to a more comprehensive understanding of human abilities. We sell ourselves short a lot, don't we? It may also inspire innovation in fields like psychology, neuroscience, physics, and philosophy. What if by exploring this fascinating frontier, we could unlock new perspectives, improve our understanding of reality, and inspire creative solutions for future opportunities? As I was saying, I've done quite a lot of remote viewing when I do searches for people who are missing. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. My friend and I first would gather information that was available from whoever brought us into the case. And then we would sit quietly, each of us in our own office, and just see what we would pick up, impressions, views, anything using remote viewing. We would make notes, and then we would meet to compare what we got. And every time, our results were astonishingly similar. We made a great team. I miss her terribly. At that point, we would often use a map of the area where the person went missing, and we would look at areas that met our visions. Like if we saw them on the ridge of a mountain or down in a valley, we would look in those areas and tune into where the person most likely was in those areas. So here are some specific examples of cases that I've been involved with. One was about an experienced hiker who went missing in Colorado. A friend of the family's brought us into the investigation, and my friend and I very quickly saw him kind of purposely wedged between rocks. And he was in the shade when we first saw him. There weren't trees around, just these like big boulders and a lot of nothing around that. I could feel he had an injury, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And he was losing consciousness now and then. So we pinpointed an area on the map, and both of us got a hit on the same area. But the local search party said they'd already cleared that area, so they didn't want to go back there. They wanted to keep clearing everywhere else they thought he might be. They kept checking in with us. We kept directing them back to that same place because we could feel the man was not doing well at all. So once the link was established with him, I kept hearing him talking to me. I'd be driving from work or to work or somewhere else, and I'd hear him crying out for help and just praying. And so I would talk to him, hoping he could hear me like I could hear him while I was tuned into him. And I just try to give him hope and encouragement to hang on. He has a family, you know, who a lot of people care. He was very well loved. Twice a day, my friend and I would do remote viewing to see if he was still in the same location. He always was. And I was talking with him when I felt him die. And that was just crushing. I just felt like the worst feeling. I cared so much about him by that point. So I went to my office, and my friend had felt him pass as well. Finally, we were able to get the search party to go back to that area, and they found him where we saw him remote viewing, but he was already deceased. So, you know, we can't guarantee how people are going to be found, but we would always do our best to help. The second one was a local woman went missing, and her family contacted me through a friend. And I could see her, remote viewing, see her alive and well. She was in a small one-story home near the coast in California. Her family was encouraged at this news, but she had just taken off without letting anyone know she was leaving. And they kept saying, that's not like her. I think she's been abducted. Something's wrong. I could see that she was fine and she was happy where she was. And since she was an adult, I withdrew from the case. She wasn't missing. She had moved. Later, the family contacted me to let me know she had reached out to them and she was fine. And she came back for a visit. And it turns out she was living in a small one-story home near the coast in California. So, you know, when you see these visions, you know, the trick is don't second guess yourself. You need to come to a place of trust. You can only get there by having verifications such as this. The third way that I use it, or I should say really a second way, it's the third story, but the second way I use this is when I'm trying to help people with physical issues. So a lot of time people ask me, do I sense any problems, physical problems in their body? And so I will close my eyes and I will do a physical scan of their body from the top of their head down to their feet. And I will feel where there's dis-ease in the body, and I will feel generally what's going on there. And through that method, for instance, I had more than one client, but one specific jumps out at me, who came to me, and she'd had a couple currents of breast cancer on the right side. And I was picking it up on the left, like she was worried it would reoccur. And I said, I don't feel it there, but I feel it on the left. Oh no, I never had any problems there. I said, well, I wouldn't get alarmed, but please do get it checked. There's something going on there. And there was a small tumor growing there. There's been a lot of things over the years where I just know I feel it in my body. I don't call myself a medical intuitive, but I do say people who have that ability, you know, I'm not a trained medical intuitive. These things just come to me of what's going on in a person's body. And to me, that was part of me learning to be a healer, which is how I started my spiritual work, was as a hands-on energy healer doing medical Qigong energy healing. And I could feel where in the body they had a problem, not just their energy, but I could see it and I could feel it in my body where it was in their body. So that's also a form of remote viewing. Another form that you might be very familiar with is lost items. If you have the ability to find lost items, you probably can develop the ability to do good remote viewing because it is done the same way, just more casually. You clear your mind and ask to be shown where the item is. When I do this, and I'm very good at finding lost items, I see the item in a specific place. And at first, it might just be high on a shelf. And this is where this background picture comes into play. So let's say at first I see a lake and trees, and then I want to see more. So I'll ask to have my vision pulled back. When it's a scenery like this, I'll get a broader view. I might see something that's important for people to find the specific place or to help me locate the specific place. But when it's coming to a lost item, I might see it first on a high shelf, but I can't tell what room it's in. So I consciously move my psychic view back to see a broader view. Then I can usually see or sense what room it's in and what it's on or in. Sometimes I just get an impression of where it is. And at first I might just get this immediate feeling that it's in a dark place and it ends up being, you know, shoved under a bed in a corner, or it's in a closet or a basement, or it's under something, but I can't see what it is at first. I have to be in the right state of mind to really tune into this. You can't have distractions. You must have decent sleep and clear your mind. But it is the clearing of the mind that gives you the best chance to see through remote viewing where the last item is. This is a great way to practice remote viewing. So nothing's lost, hey, how about you have a partner who you each hide an item of theirs in your house somewhere that they don't know about, and then you practice seeing what you receive. And let the person, you know, make sure the person you do this with is going to give you thorough but productive feedback, not critical, but encouraging, and tell you what you got right and try to maybe have some understanding of where you went off track. It's not much different from developing psychic skill in general. There are multiple courses that I found online where you can learn remote viewing. Some are strictly online with pre-recorded videos, but I highly suggest that you find one with a live instructor, because the feedback you receive individually is what's going to be extremely helpful in developing your ability. If you're just watching videos, you're not getting that feedback. And I think it's very much like intuitive training, where I have someone do a practice reading. And especially for me, we start with me because I know what the answers are. And then I can tell them what they got right. I can ask them when they went wrong. I can say, tell me specifically what you saw. Drill down deeper. This is a lesson I learned early in my training. If you see water, don't just leave it at that. What color is the water? Is the water calm? Is it choppy? Are there high waves? Do you feel like it's salt water or fresh water? What does the sky look like? What's the weather like around you? All of those things can be important. What do you hear? I do hear and feel things when I go into remote viewing. I think it's different for different people. It just, again, depends on your gifts and how you receive information. So I hope that you might get curious enough to start studying it and try this for yourself. You know, it's just a matter of, do you dare to venture into the unknown, to experiment with the endless possibilities that remote viewing provides? It might not resonate with everyone, nothing does, but when we feed our curiosity, we ignite our imagination and allow ourselves to experiment and create, there really is not much beyond our reach. We have to let go of what we think we know, what science already knows and accepts, because it changes all the time. Life is not always linear, and so try to wrap your mind around that fact and be more open to accepting things that might seem a little fringe or out there. I felt that way about a lot of things that now I actually do and have experienced. And I think that's how it is for most people on their journey. So I hope this has been useful and interesting for you. I'm still working on getting an interview with that person I mentioned in the promo. That's not completely out of reach. It may happen yet. Next Sunday's topic is overcome fear with your angels. There's just so much energy of fear in the world right now. And my angels asked me to talk about this and how to tamp it down, how to overcome it, basically rising above it. And your angels want to help you with that. May your angels surround you. May your angels protect you every moment, every day of your life. I'll see you next week.
Listening to The Angel Room with Ivory Lanoue. Tune in next. next Sunday.